This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We oftentimes hear people saying that if I were a president of a country, or if I were a leader of a country in the region of Palestine, I would have done this and I would have done that to end the war. And they lay blame on the leaders of these countries for doing nothing, and for sitting back and watching the butchering of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And the reality is, I'm not here to talk about that, but I'd like to highlight something. I'd like to highlight an aspect of this that we perhaps have not considered. And that is, what have we done to rectify the situation, not in Gaza, but in our own masajid? What have we done to rectify the situation and the infighting that we have in our own communities? What have we done to rectify the fighting and the battles that are happening in our families and extended families? Before we can talk about unity, and before we can talk about being together united as an ummah, we need to be able to know how to argue and how to resolve issues. When a dispute arises, what is the correct way to go about resolving that dispute? If we take a look at our masajid, most of the masajid, and wallahi I am not aware of the politics, neither in this masjid nor in any of the other masajid in London. So if you feel this is actually an attack, then no, it isn't. But if you feel that this message seems to have been directed at me, then wallahi that is from Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, and Allah knows what I am talking about. Because I don't know about the politics that are amongst the boards that govern the masajid, etc. But it's high time we begin to speak about this. It's high time we address the fact that we have so much political tension within the masajid that trustees on trustee boards cannot talk to one another. They don't communicate. So you have one trustee attacking another and the other one backbiting the other, and you have the chairman speaking bad about another. And again, I reiterate, I don't know the politics in the masajid. But why is it that when we have a dispute, we can't resolve the dispute amicably? We can't communicate with each other. We have to reach a point where I'm no longer talking to that brother. What happened to a believing man does not keep away and not greet his brother for more than 3 days? What happened to that? What happened to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Was this how the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resolved their disputes? We are fortunate to have the Quran in our midst. We are fortunate to have the ability to go back to Qala Allahu wa Qala Rasul. Allah said and His Messenger said. So why don't we do that? Disputes will happen, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Disputes are bound to happen. Even in your marriage, you will find that you will have disputes. You will have difficulties. You will have problems. But the manner in which to resolve those problems is of utmost importance. First and foremost, we need to be sincere in our dispute as well. You know, we often talk about sincerity towards each other. And part of that sincerity, a test of that sincerity, is when you don't get along with your brother, but you speak to him in a respectful way, addressing the issue, trying to resolve it for the sake of who? Allah. Not for my sake. Not for your sake. Not for the sake of the future generation, but for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Ever more so in the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And the masajid are for Allah, رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ. The masjid is not your father's. The masjid is not your grandfather's. The masjid is not your uncles and your brothers and your aunts' masjid, even though it may have been founded by them. That masjid is for Allah, رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ. So what does a believer do when he knows that his presence is more toxic and detrimental to the masjid than his absence on the board? He steps down bravely by saying, I now know that this masjid will run better without my presence in the board, so I will leave for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. For the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. That is sincerity. Why? Because you can acknowledge that my presence is now detrimental to this institution and this is for Allah, so I will leave for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not holding on to power, simply because it is power. And I must say this, at times we hold on to power simply because it is a little bit of power and it is only the bit of power that we have access to. So we hold dearly on to it, because we have control and authority over people. That is a small man syndrome. That is a small man syndrome. If you are holding on because you feel that, you know what? I'm the big man here. Everybody should listen to me. And remember, bear in mind, what did I say? Wallahi, I don't know the politics of this masjid. And qasaman billah, Allah is my witness. I don't know the politics of any of the masajid around London. I do my events in event halls. So I don't know the politics. But I've seen this globally. It is a phenomenon where you have people on the board that are running the masjid, and oftentimes they are the older generation. We respect them. We love them. We appreciate the fact that they set up these masajid for who? For the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, and that is the only reason why we perform after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the only reason why we perform salah in these masajid. They are here today because 50 years ago they made an effort. There was, you know, rampant, you know, fitna around them as well. People were doing whatever they wanted to do, going to the nightclubs, etc. They came to these countries and set up beautiful houses of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. We thank them for that. And we appreciate them for that. And we make dua for them for that. But at the same time, we must call out a wrongdoing when it is a wrongdoing. And it becomes a wrongdoing. And you should ask yourself, I'm not asking the community to kick out those members. The member himself should ask himself, that is my presence now more detrimental to the masjid than it is beneficial? And if the question, if the answer is yes, then at that juncture, you need to recuse yourself and say, I've done this, I set it up for Allah. I served for Allah and I leave for Allah. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, indeed my salah, my life, my living and my death and my salah and my sacrifice is for Allah, Lord of the worlds. Why? Because إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah and to Him we shall return. I will one day answer to Allah, رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ وَالْجَلَالِ. And it's time we involve the youth in our boards. Get them involved. Give them a role. Why? Because the youth understand the youth. The youth get the youth. The youth know how to approach and tackle the issues regarding the youth. So give them an opportunity. Set up a board, an independent board of the trustees and the chairman and the executive, etc., that has given these youth, a certain number of youth that are mature and responsible, the ability to set up programs in the masjid. What will happen? You'll find the masjid becomes alive again. The masjid becomes alive again. And where they err, if it is a slight mistake, did you not make mistakes along the road? Yes, you did. So have mercy upon them. Let them learn from their mistakes. Be there in a position that is guiding them. And what is the idea behind these committees, these youth committees? It is to have them take over one day. You are grooming them for leadership because you are not here forever. And that is sincerity. Ad-deenun nasiha. Deen is sincerity. Qulna liman. We said for who? Lillahi wa li rasulihi wa li ammatil muslimina wa a'immatihim. It's for Allah and His Messenger and for the rest of the people, your community. The sincerity is in you stepping down. Step down, uncle. It's time. Understand. And the leaders as well. Sincerity is for the leaders as well. So I hope that this statement and this word of mine today is sincere. None of us knows 100% whether we are sincere or not. We try to be sincere. And we try to be honest and straightforward in our speech. But we can't be 100% certain. So I hope and I pray that my word as well is sincere here today. I never intended it as an attack. Secondly, you find in the home, you have disputes, problems, difficulties, hardships. What happens? You are arguing. And it is so common today for people not to sit down and communicate, just to talk. But it is so common for the man to say, I have given you talaq, 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 and it's over and she's gone. One, you've committed a bid'ah by doing it three times like that, according to the Hanafi madhab as well. You've done a bid'i talaq, which is to give it three times in a go. Let alone the discussion of whether three is one and one is three, etc. Let alone that discussion, put it aside. So you don't have a period where the person sits, walks away, thinks about what he should do next. He utters it immediately. And the sister says, I want out immediately. Due to small, petty issues we are hearing. Brother got married today, got divorced next week. What's going on? And you spent 50K on that wedding. Did you forget that nikah is for Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal as well? ثَلَاثٌ جِدُّهُنَّ جِدٌّ وَهَزْلُهُنَّ جِدٌّ. Three things. The seriousness of it is serious, and joking is also serious. How many times we have a brother that comes and says, I divorced my wife, but I was just joking. No. Even if you are joking, that divorce counts. So be serious when you want to say those words. Ensure that you are ready to split up forever and you don't want to be with that person. And have patience before that. Try to resolve the issue. Part of the problem is that we don't communicate. We don't talk to each other. We don't sit down and thrash it out. Ever more so, when you have husband, wife, mother-in-law, father-in-law, and all of them living in one home, sometimes three, four brothers living in one home, it becomes difficult to live simply by the fact and the virtue that you are living together. It's normal. But if you want to live, or you are forced to live in this type of a situation, you need to have a weekly or bi-weekly gathering where you sit together and say, let's talk. Air out your problems. What do you have to say? What do you have to say? What happens? Because such a short while has passed, you are able to thrash it out. You are able to go past that problem easily. Because, you know, last week, mom, you did this and you did that. And you said this and you said that and it hurt me. What happens? Mom apologizes. Maybe she doesn't apologize. It's okay. It's fine. She got to hear. It was communicated to her in a good way, so the behavior changes. And if it doesn't change, every bi-weekly we are sitting, every week we are sitting and discussing. It will come up again. It will recur. So there is healthy discussion. You need to have this majlis and this sitting in your house. Don't sweep things under the rug. Do you know what happens? We say, hey, let it go. Have sabr. Have patience. And this happens ever more so from, and I'm not attacking the males again. You know, it's a problem in this country. When you want to talk and you say the males do something wrong, they say you are so and so. You see, you are just a simp. And that's why you're talking about the the males being wrong. You never ever talk about the females being... The females are also wrong in certain cases. But you do find that when a man's mother and father is wrong, he finds it very difficult to stand up for his wife and to say, "Mom, Dad, here you're wrong." And where his wife is wrong, he finds it very difficult as well to say, "Hey, you're wrong here," and they are right. But you have to. Why? Not because of me and not because of the next man. Because Allah says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kunu qawwamin bilqist shuhada'a lillah walau ala anfusikum awil walidayni wal aqrabin." O you who have believed, stand up for justice upright. Even if it is against yourself, "I am wrong, I am sorry. I am wrong, I am sorry." That's all you need to say. When your mother and father is wrong, all you need to say is respectfully, "Mom, Dad, here I think she is right and you are wrong." Wallahi, you need to say it. Why? Not because I said it. Not because the next man said it. Because Allah said it. Because you're not here forever, brother and sister. You are going to stand before Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Did you forget about that? Do you doubt that? Is that why you don't stand up for justice in your homes? You see what I mean by when I say that we are easy to pay lip service and say we stand for Palestine and we will fight for them and we will give our lives if we have to. But you can't give up a little bit of your izzat. What they call izzat, your honor. And just say, "You know, here I am wrong. It's okay, I apologize, I'm sorry." Stomp on your ego. And you know what happens? When you practice this, it becomes easier for you to do it. And Allah actually raises a person. وَمَا زَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ عَفْوًا إِلَّا عِزَّةً. And Allah, He raises a person when He forgives, and He raises a person when He puts Himself down for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. You think you are humiliating yourself because I needed to apologize. It is me humiliating myself. But in reality, you are raising yourself in the eyes of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Imagine you leave that argument. You know, sometimes arguments get to a point where it's toxic. And you know you are not winning this argument. You know you are not going anywhere. And you know that now after this I will break a relationship. What do? You simply say, even though you are right, you say, "Brother, I acknowledge I am wrong, I apologize." For the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal, and you are being raised in His ranks. And you are guaranteed a place in Jannah. أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبَضِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحِقَّا. I am guaranteeing a person a place in Jannah when he leaves argument, even though he has the right. He has the right to say, "Yes, I am right. And you are wrong." But what does he say? "Brother, I'm wrong." Why? Because I know I'm returning to Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. I know it's reached a point where this person is not hearing sense anymore. It's not going to change anything. In fact, it will be more detrimental for me to pursue this argument. So I leave it for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. A few tips. Before we go on to a few tips. Why is it that we speak to everyone about our problems? And this we know. Which gender is more well known to do this? Why is it that my bestie knows about my problems, but my husband doesn't know about my problems with him? Why is it that my best friend knows the intimate details of the going-ons of my house, but my husband does not know what is going on in our marriage? Why? Why can't we address the issue with our spouses, sit down and say, "Listen, whether it is husband or wife, sit down and say, I am with you to live until death do us apart," as they say. So we need to live in this marriage in a good way. So let me address this. I have this problem, that problem with you. But we will go to everyone else. If I have a problem with this brother in the community, and I don't worry, I don't have a problem with you. Barakallahu feek. If I have a problem with him, then I will go to him and him and him and him and him and him and tell everyone, you know what that brother did to me? This is what he did. But I will not go to the brother and say, brother, please forgive me. You know, oh, please, this is what you did to me. Understand that what you did to me was wrong. Let's resolve it. Let's, you know, finish it. And that is the way of Islam. That is the way of Allah, Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. It doesn't end there. It's okay, I will come back to you tomorrow. We will talk about it again. Now you're beginning to think that you really have a problem with me, hey? Barakallahu feek. Look, so we must address these issues. Don't sweep them under the rug. It won't go anywhere. That rug, the heap will just keep getting bigger underneath. Until one day you can't go past the rug except if you trip over it. Meaning that problem will be so big that you won't be able to resolve it now. It will be too much. And even when you reach the point of divorce and you know there is no going back now, we need to end this marriage. Sometimes it is better to divorce than to remain in a toxic, bad, evil relationship. You get these relationships where they are evil. They are toxic. It's bad. You are at each other's throats every day. You are swearing at each other every day. When that happens, well, you don't need to wait for that. But if it gets to the point where you have to divorce, then divorce with goodness. Why is it that when Allah protect our marriages. Ameen. When something happens and I reach the point where I can't get along anymore and we separate or divorce, What do I do? I go to everyone and say, do you know how bad that family is? I stop talking to them. I leave them. And now the families are torn apart. You are serving the cause of the devil by doing so. I heard of a couple who got divorced. And do you know how they did it? I was amazed. They went to their parents and said, look, we've reached a point where we've discussed every possible option. And we wish we could have gotten you involved and you could have helped the situation, but we know it won't help. So instead of the word getting out there and the reasons for our divorce getting out there, we are just here to tell you that this is what's happening and we want it to be a divorce within reason where we understand each other and we part ways and we go our separate ways and Allah will provide for us. And to date, that ex-couple gets along in the sense that there's no issues, there's no problems. They still get along. What is that? وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَعَتِهِ. And if they separate, then Allah will give each one of them from his riches, from his wealth. They get along. They are fine. What happens? Allah is even happy with the way that that divorce happened. Doesn't mean that Allah is happy with divorce. He's happy with the way that that divorce happened. Why? Because the families are still talking to each other. I remember this uncle who said to me, he's actually from our country, from Zimbabwe. And he came to London once, or the UK. I don't know where in the UK, but in the UK somewhere. And he met his ex-father-in-law. And his ex-father-in-law hugged him and, you know, hey, how's it going? How are you? Come in, come to the house. No problem, what have you. And people are watching thinking, didn't this man divorce his daughter? So they went to this man and said, didn't he divorce your daughter? So he says, yes. He divorced my daughter. Did he divorce me? Did he divorce me? And wallahi, that question is so profound because it's so true. I have no problem with him. They didn't get along. It didn't work. Allah will provide for both parties. No problem. Alhamdulillah. So try and hold your tongue even in divorce. Try and keep that divorce amicable. And Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal will bless your parting as well. Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal will bless your parting as well. So the same applies to when we have a relationship with a community member. We've had an argument, we've had a dispute, we've had a problem. Sometimes we are business partners. The partnership never worked out. Don't say our relationship never worked out. Say the partnership never worked out. It fell through, it never worked, but I'm still friends. I was in business. with people, with a man who it never worked out with. Today we still talk, we laugh, we smile. I'm not here to blow my trumpet, but I'm trying to give an example. There's no need for me to cut my relationship with him. Say, do you know that man did me down, etc. Yes, haq is haq. And the right that you deserve from that partnership when you split apart is important. You should get your right. You should get your money and your fair share, etc. And if you have been wronged, yes, you have been wronged, but you can still maintain a relationship. When we look at these community issues in this way, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we will build a strong, lasting community that will be able to thrive together. Even if I disagree and don't like a certain brother, I still greet him. Why? Because he deserves my salam. When I pass him, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. No problem. What is the harm in doing that? Because ultimately you and that brother, you both hope that one day you will meet in Jannah. Even though you disagree and you don't like him. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلْ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ. And we will remove that of hatred that they have in their hearts beneath, and they will be in Jannah, beneath which the rivers will be flowing. You will be with who? People whom you disliked, people whom you hated, people whom you didn't want to see. Allah removes the hatred from your heart and you will be with them. So why? Why then when you come into the masjid, you can't even say assalamu alaikum? This difference of, you know, I am Salafi and he is Sunni and he is, this one is that and that one is Barelwi and that one is whatever he is, Deobandi. That difference was sowed in amongst our communities by those who are our enemies, those who don't like us. And we have taken up the cause and picked it up and said, right, we will champion this cause. Let's go ahead. Let's go forth. No, we are Muslimin. And that's all that matters. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. I believe in this. This is my banner of faith. This is my brother who utters the same shahada. I'm going to greet him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to respect him. Despite my differences with him, I'm not saying you don't have the right to refute the ideology. You want to refute a certain ideology, get up on the mimbar and speak about it. No problems. Speak up and say what you think is the haqq. At least you have a hujjah and evidence with Allah, I spoke the haqq. But don't go out there and say there is an imam of such and such a masjid, he did this. That is now fueling discord and hatred amongst the Muslimin. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِّمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And who is better than the one who calls to Allah and he does good deeds? And then what does Allah say? وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he says, I am from amongst the Muslims. I will ask you a question. If someone were to walk into this masjid right now, right here, with a gun, and was to point that gun at any one of us and start firing, are you telling me that if you believe and you know that this brother is a Salafi or a Deobandi and you are not, then you will say, yes, kill him? No, you won't. Why? Because you know he is a human being who is a Muslim. I will defend my brother despite my differences. Let's put our differences aside. That is now serving the cause of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. When the day comes where we need to stand up, we need to rise up to defend the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are ready. We are united despite our differences. So treat your communities like you are a marriage. We will live together despite our differences. لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنة إن كره منها خلقا إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر. If a believing man does not like a certain characteristic of a believing woman, there are others that he loves. There are others that he loves. So he doesn't hate her. He doesn't cause problems with her simply because she has certain weaknesses. And the same applies. You don't cause problems with your husband simply because he has certain Weaknesses. You overlook them. And this brings me to the next point. In fact, before we get to the next point, I would like to leave you with a few pointers on communication. Listen actively. When you are communicating with someone, first and foremost, renew your intention in your heart. Tell yourself, this is for Allah. Then sit with the brother and listen to what he has to say. Sit with the sister and listen to what she has to say. Listen actively, intending to actually hear, intending to understand where they come from and what they are saying. That is the first part of communication. Before you even open your mouth, listen to the person. Lend them an ear. What happens today? You are sitting, you are the father, and you have your daughter or your son speaking. And as soon as it is in disagreement with you, you view it as disrespect and you become angry. Hey, you keep quiet. You don't talk to me. No, calm down. Relax. He is not disrespecting you. He has said, mom, dad, spoken with respect. And he's addressing an issue that he needs to address. Let him speak. Listen to him. Let him be heard. And then you can now speak and have your say. Secondly, stay calm and composed. Connect yourself to your own body. Listen to your breathing. Listen to your breath going in and out. And stay within your body. Stay within your feelings. Don't be connected to your feelings. Why do I say this? When a man is angry and he's shouting at the top of his voice, he's not connected to his feelings anymore. And that is when you find talak, talak, talak. That is when you find words that are said that are so cutting that this person will never view you the same again. You will never have the same relationship again. You've now uttered words that you will regret for life, for life. Some fathers disowning their children. Some brothers and sisters who shared one womb. You shared one womb. You were born from the same passageway. You share one mother, one father. And today you don't speak to each other. Why? Because he said this about my daughter's wedding. Allahu Akbar. Could you not just sit down and resolve that issue? Talk, calm down, talk with a calm voice. When you are angry, say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Walk away and come back and sit at the table again when you need to. But thrash it out, dear brothers and sisters in Islam. And thirdly, take time to respond. You know, there is a difference between a reaction and a response. So if you tell me something, I can immediately say something back to you. Or I can sit and I can take 3 seconds deep breathing. Okay, even one breath. You see? Take one breath in and then respond calmly. What's happened? There is a difference between a reaction and a response. Even on WhatsApp, what happens? We get a message, we want to respond immediately. No. Take time. Think about it. Think clearly. Consult. Speak to someone. And then respond. Hey, this person messaged me about this issue. I want to talk to them, communicate it to them. And ever more so, there is no reason for us not to communicate today. Because there is no excuse. You have your phone. You have email. You have all sorts of methods of communication. Employ those methods. Use them for goodness. Instead of using them for goodness, what we find ourselves doing is we are going through reels and videos all day. That's all we can do on the phone. No, use it for goodness. Send a message to that person if you can't talk to them. And they will listen. Why? Because they are reading the message. Use these methods to actually communicate with each other. So half of the problem will be resolved when you actually communicate and you speak. Thirdly, suspicion. Sorry, how long have I been going on for? Anyone keeping track of the time? Too long. Allahu Akbar. Uncle doesn't like me. Forgive me if I said anything against you. We might as well just do it now. Allahu Akbar. Okay. Just as well. 35 minutes. Okay, so I will wrap up soon, inshallah. I'll try to go through my... Yeah, I will try and wrap up soon, inshallah. So, I think I've addressed most of the issues anyways. But the other thing I want to say is suspicion. What is the role of suspicion in a community? Suspicion can destroy a community completely. When you are a suspicious person and you speak to someone else about your suspicion, you are actually engaging in a sin because you have no evidence of what you are saying. I know an aunt, not my aunt, but I know an auntie who goes around telling people in her family that so and so, I suspect them of doing magic. And this is common. So and so, I suspect them of doing magic. But you have no evidence. You don't know whether that person has done it or not. You have no clear evidence. Don't say it because it is actually a sin. What does the hadith teach us? إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنْ. Beware of suspicion. فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. For indeed suspicion is the most baseless of speech. It's the speech in which there is more likely a lie than there is a truth. So don't say it. The minute you say it, you've actually engaged in a sin. Change that thought and make dua for the person. And make dua of protection for you and your family if you want to, no problem. But don't go around speaking of things that you have no knowledge about. Because you can actually cause serious problems. Serious problems. When that person finds out, and they will. If you are speaking about this in community, when that person finds out, they will. What do you think their feeling will be? Do you think that's helping the community be united? Do you think that is helping the community come together? Do you think that is helping the family come together? And besides, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us even if there is magic. Even if there is magic, have you forgotten that Allah can protect you from that magic without you delving deeper into it? I read my adhkar every day. I know Allah has got me. I know Allah will protect me. That's the attitude of a believer. That's the attitude of a Muslim. So don't go around talking about that person. This is what they did. That's what they did. If you really must, in this instance, and you suspect the person, go to them and speak to them. Say, you know, I have these feelings. You have the guts to do so. Go and do it now. Why? Because if you don't do it today, you will have to face up to that person, Yawmul Qiyamah, before Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. Are you prepared? Are you ready to say that, yes, I spoke about you?
يَوْمَ تُبْلَى السَّرَائِرُ فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ.
On that day, the secrets will be revealed. So there will be no strength and power against Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And there will be no helper against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will have to answer, you will have to face the consequences of your speech. So hold your tongue back. Harness your tongue, hold it back, and don't speak. Why? Simply because I know I will have to answer before Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. And if you change your thought process and you think goodness of this person, then you will be rewarded for that good thought. You see how merciful Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal is. And you will find in no time your relationship will actually become better with that person. Why? Because ad-deenun nasiha. You have been sincere with that person for the sake of Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal. So dear brothers and sisters in Islam, my message is simple. My message is one of sincerity, where we should be sincere to each other. We should sit and advise each other. We should learn how to fight before we learn how to get along. We should learn how to argue before we learn how to actually get along. And then we will find unity in our communities. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. May Allah Rabbul Izzati wal Jalal give us the love that we need for each other for His sake. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the ummah against the forces that are against us today. Ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.